Okay, so today's daf is Ayin Aleph. So we'll pick up from the bottom of Ayin and Beis. The Gemara says two lines up. Hash Shadamar's bow, we already made a drasha, the darsha hudasa. The word bow is coming to make a drasha that bow only this to exclude another case. So Gemara is going to start going through other areas we find, instances where we find the word bow. So Gemara says, Kol ben nechar lo yuchal bow. So this is a pasuk that's referring to Karban Pesach. The entire pasuk reads, Vayomar Hashem el Moshe v'Aaron zos chukas haPesach. The following is the halachas related to Karban Pesach. Kol ben nechar lo yuchal bo. Someone who's a ben nechar, someone who is not following the rules, even though he might be Jewish, but he's hamer das, as they say. He goes, he's being mowered, he's rebelling, so he's not supposed to eat the Karban Pesach. So what does it mean, bo? Bo lamli, why bo? We know we're talking about Karban Pesach. Why emphasize bo? It's Karban Pesach, he may not eat. That's the context. So the Gemara explains, bo, when it comes to Karban Pesach, hamaras das poselas. A person who is, let's say, off the derech, Rashi explains, top line in Ayin Aleph, de'im himir daso, if he rebels against religion, v'nisnakru mazav, and his actions become foreign, la'aviv shebashmaim, completely foreign and off what Kadosh Baruch Hu expects from us. That's when Rashi explains, amar rachmana lo yochaba, such a person doesn't eat the Karban Pesach. However, that's coming to exclude vein hamaras das poselas b'maiser. But when it comes to eating maiser, this is talking about maiser sheni. So a person who's a hamer das will not be excluded from eating maiser sheni. He's allowed to continue to eat maiser sheni. So Gemara says, okay, I have another pasuk with the word bo is used. Second line down says kol arel lo yochabal. A person who does not have the bris milah, he's not allowed to eat it. And this too is also referring to the Karban Pesach. The entire pasuk reads, if a ger lives among you, v'asa pesach l'Hashem, brings a Karban Pesach, he mo lochol zachar, is supposed to give a milah to all his children, v'az yikrav l'aso, so then he's allowed to bring the Karban Pesach. V'yoke ezrach haretz, he's going to be like anybody else, v'chol ara lo yochabab, but if he does not receive a bris milah, he's not allowed to eat it. So we know we're referring to Karban Pesach. Why say v'chol ara lo yochal? It should say lo yochal. Why lo yochal bo? Comes to say bo to exclude another case. So the Gemara says, bo lamali. So bo eino ochel, while ochel b'mat tomorrow. While such an individual who's an Ariel who does not have the mila may not eat the Karban Pesach, he may, however, eat matzah and marah during Pesach. He's not excluded from those mitzvahs. The Gemara says, so these are two different psukim by Karban Pesach. It says Ariel and it says kol ben nechar. Both of them have the word bo. So the Gemara asks, v'tzrich l'michtav Ariel, v'tzrich l'michtav kol ben nechar. The pasuk needs to both exclude that both an Ariel cannot eat a Karban Pesach and a Ben Nechar cannot eat either. A Ben Nechar is someone who's Jewish, has a milah, but is off the derech. An Ariel is someone who's Jewish, who's on the derech, but he does not have the bris milah for whatever reason. You need to exclude both of these cases. You cannot learn one from the next. Why? Di kasrach mana Ariel, if it simply said Ariel, person who doesn't have a milah, he's not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach, mishum ha-demais. Gemara all over Shas refers to a person as an Ariel's ma, something disgusting. He's still an Ariel. He's disgusting. He is therefore not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. Ava ben nechar de lo mas. He's not disgusting. He might be doing improper things, but physically speaking, he has a mila. He's not viewed as ma'is. Maybe aim alo. Maybe we'd say he's not excluded from the Karban Pesach. He might be able to eat the Karban Pesach. That's why we have to exclude ben nechar as well from Karban Pesach. And the other way is true as well. V'kasrachmana kol benechar, if it's simply excluded a benechar, someone who's off the derech, mishum de'ein libo l'shemayim, because his focus, his heart is not with Shemayim, so therefore he's not allowed to eat Karban Pesach, it's just completely inappropriate. Aval Ariel de libo l'shemayim, then Ariel, he wants to be part of Klal Yisrael, he wants to eat the Karban Pesach, it simply is a technicality, for whatever reason he wasn't able to get the bris milah, so maybe aim alo, maybe he should not be excluded, maybe he should be able to partake in the Karban Pesach. Tzricha, therefore, we need the pasuk of Ariel lo yochabo, that he too, even though libo b'shemayim, he too, unfortunately, is excluded from bringing the Karban Pesach. Now the Gemara is darshaning different psukim, extra words, in the parsha of Karban Pesach, is now darshaning the word mimenu. The pasuk says mimenu, on the side of the page, quotes the entire pasuk. It says, velo sosir, before that, it says, al tochlu mimenu, no, don't eat from it, meaning the Karban Pesach. Don't eat from the Karban Pesach, no, if it's raw. Ubash mevusha b'mayim, or if it's cooked in water. Ki'im tli'esh has to be roasted, says the pasuk. Rosho v'al krav v'al kirbo. So the pasuk says, mimenu, don't eat from it. Well, we know we're talking about Karban Pesach. Why to say mimenu? And the very next pasuk says mimenu again. It says velo so siru mimenu. Don't leave over from it, from the Karban Pesach, ad boker to the morning. So the Gemara, back to the Gemara, wants to know mimenu mimenu lamali. Why do you need two mimenus in the pasuk of the preparing of the Karban Pesach? What's the need for it? The Gemara says the chederaba am Rabbi Yitzchak. The Gemara doesn't really tell us what the answer is, but there is an opinion of Rabbah out there, and Rashi doesn't tell us either. Rashi says, if you have some patience, we'll see in 3 days from today, Lakama Bepirkin, later on, Ayin Dalad, Tlas Mimenu Ksiva Bepesach. It says the word Mimenu three times, and we're going to learn in 3 days three different drashas from these words, and we'll have to just be patient till we get there. Now the Gemara quotes an opinion we saw yesterday's daf, Amar Mar. We said yesterday, Rabbi Kiva Omer, Eino Tzarech. You don't need what? You don't need let's remind myself here, a toshiv v'sachir. We had the whole gzer shav, a toshiv v'sachir from Karban Pesach, about an Ariel being excluded from the truma, I think it was, right? So it's possible, right, you could have learned Ariel from Harei Hu Omer Ish Ish. It says in Ish Ish, and the pasuk reads, in regards to eating truma, a person cannot eat the truma until he's tahor. So why ish the double ashon lerabos es ha'arel? So Rabbi Kiva felt that we could include an arel from the extra words ish in regards to eating truma. So the Gemara now asks, after restating Rabbi Kiva's opinion, it says ve'ema lerabos es ha'onein. Maybe the double ashon ish is coming to include that an onein may eat, or may say he should be excluded also from eating the truma. Why are we excluding Ariel? Maybe we should be excluding an onen. So Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Kra, the pasuk says v'chol zar. So this is the few days ago. It said v'chol zar. Read the whole pasuk. V'chol zar lo yochal kodesh toshav koin v'sacher lo yochal kodesh. A zar may not eat kodesh. In this context, kodesh here means truma. So what does mean v'chol zar? Says the Gemara, zaros amarti lecha v'lo aninus. So here we said zar, a zar is excluded. Somebody who's not a kohen may not eat truma, but as opposed to an onen is a kohen. He's not a zar, he's a kohen. He's allowed to eat truma. But then the Gemara asks, ema velo arelus. Maybe it should come to exclude someone who's an arel. Maybe he shouldn't eat truma. So we're trying to exclude, we're excluding onen, but maybe we're suggesting you should really exclude an arel. So the Gemara says, Haksif ishish. We already have the word ishish to exclude a arel. So, in other words, to review, we have, it's true in the end of the day, both an onen and an arel may not eat truma. It's just which source is being used. So the word ishish we're using to include that an arel may not eat truma, and the word chozar is coming to include that an arel may not eat truma either. They're both true, just which pasuk is being used. So the Gemara now says, Umar Ra'isa. So what was the logic, Mistavra, what was the logic to try to include Ariel from this pasuk and not Onen? We wanted to include Ariel in Ishish. So the Gemara explains as follows. Mistavra Ariel is Havle L'Rirbuye. It makes sense to include Ariel. Shekain Masim Krusim Bidavar Ha'eved. That's supposed to be a mnemonic. Let's see what this means. Mechusar Maisa. Ariel is mechusar ma'isa. He's lacking in action. He needs a bris milah to become a full-fledged kedushas Yisrael. Umaisa begufo, and it's a ma'isa that has what to do with his body himself. It's very inherent. Va'anush kares, and since he doesn't have a milah, he has a punishment of kares. V'yeshu lufnei ha-dibor, and the concept of bris milah existed before dibor, which makes it more very, very serious. It's very ingrained within us very early. Umilas zecharav v'avadam akeves. And a person who he himself might be mahul, have a bris milah, if his avadim or if his children are arelim, that prevents him from eating truma. So that's something unique by an arel that does not exist by an onin. For that reason, it makes sense to exclude an arel from the word ish ish, and ish ish also that an arel shouldn't eat truma. That's why we learn ish ish to include an arel. So then the Gemara says, adrabba, the opposite makes sense. Aninus havle l'rebuye. You should have learned ishish is referring to an onin. Why should an onin not eat truma? Shekein yeshen b'chol shah. Aninus exists all the time. What does it mean yeshen b'chol shah? As opposed to A bris milah. Bris milah is a one-time thing. See, what do you mean? Because it's bechosha. I guess it could happen multiple times. Bris milah is a one-time event, and onan is can happen anytime. At any given time, it can happen multiple times. Now that's the way this is understood. Now Rashi doesn't explain, but if that's the case, this there's a big machlokas by bris milah. What's the mitzvah of bris milah? Is the mitzvah of bris milah the ma'aseh milah, the one-time event, which is what's implied by the Gemara? Others say bris milah is a constant mitzvah. The very fact that a person is mahol, he's constantly being performing mitzvahs. He's not performing them, but he's being mekayim mitzvahs as he's just living. It's a story they talks about in Menachos, about David HaMelech, who was in the Beis HaMerchatz, and he had no mitzvahs. He wasn't wearing tzitzis, he wasn't wearing tefillin, he wasn't learning, he had no mitzvahs. He was empty of mitzvahs, chafshim mitzvahs, but then he remembered he had the bris milah, and that reminded him he's constantly, then he's performing the mitzvah of being the very existence of being mahol. That's a mekim mitzvah. So this sounds like mitzvah milah is not a constant mitzvah, it's a one-time event. As opposed to aninus, could happen multiple times throughout one's lifetime. Okay, so that shows a certain severity by aninus. Further, the Gemara says another thing about aninus, noheges banashim v'nashim. It's more expansive. It includes men and women, as opposed to bris milah. Of course, does not include women. Then be other lesakin, and aninus is not in your control. It's completely against your will. That's how powerful it is. And the other lesakin has to. We can't fix it. He is what he is. So Gemara says, you're right. There are certain chumras that exist by an onen that don't exist by bris milah. But in the end of the day, hanuch nefishim. There are more chumras by a milah, by an arel, than by an onen. And that's why initially we wanted to include that when it said ishish, it's referring to an arel may not eat truma, and we did not talk about a onen at that point. Now Rava says back, below hanuch nefishin, nami lo matzis amris. Even had arel not had more reasons, more chumras than that of aninus, you still couldn't have suggested to include aninus in ishish as opposed to arel. Ishish should always have included arel as opposed to an onen, even regardless of the amount of chumras. Why? Because Amar Kra, the pasuk says ishish, ezu davar sheyeshnu b'ish. Why is it emphasizing ishis? What is unique that men have that women don't have? Have the omer is arelus. So it must be talking about arelus and not talking about aninus. And for that reason, ishish comes to include arelus or also usher from partaking in truma. Okay, so now after establishing that, going back to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva, hi toshav asachar my avile. We said above that Rabbi Akiva did not need the words toshav asachar. He did not need that gzer shava to include, or really to exclude an arel from eating truma. It was self-understood from the words ishish. So what's he going to do with the words tosha v'sachar, my avrlay? Samar v'shemaya la'asuye arve mahul v'givoni mahul. To include that these individuals, an arve mahul is someone who is an Arabic, and the Ishmaelim also, an Arab, Ishmael would also have a milah. And givonim was also a certain sect of converts, somewhat of converts, times of Yeshua ben Nun. They were also mahol. So these individuals, even though they were mahol, they were not allowed to. They didn't have a Jewish milah. They were not would not be allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. That's what Toshav Asachar comes to include, according to Rabbi Kiva. Mara says, "The Bahani Mulam Ninu." So when we ask these people are considered a bris mahol, so why if they're considered bris, a mahol? That's how it's asked. Vani nimolnu, are these even considered being mahol that you need a pasuk to exclude them? You're right. Lemaisa, they might have bris milah, but we don't view them as being mahol at all. There's no need for a pasuk to exclude them. It's pasha. They're not considered mulim. How do I know they're not considered mulim even though they have a bris milah? Hatanan, the Mishnah Nedarim tells us, konim shani nana larelim. Person says, I'm taking upon myself a nether that I cannot derive any benefit from an arel. So mutar barel Yisrael, he's allowed to benefit from a arel Yisrael. Very strange. Why? He just made a neder. He can't make get hanah from an arel. How is he allowed to go ahead and get hanah from a Yisrael who does not have a bris milah? He's an arel. And furthermore, va'asib b'mulei ovdei chachavim. And if it's a person who received a bris milah but is a non-Jew has a bris milah, namely a arve mahol and a givoni mahol, one is usher to take partake in again derive any hana from them. And the flip side, a person says, Konim Shani Nehna Lemulim, I'm not going to derive any benefit from someone who has a Mila. He's allowed to get a bris milah from, he's allowed to get hana from a goy who has a bris milah, vaser barley Yisrael, but cannot get a hana from someone who is Yisrael who does not have a bris milah. So what's going on here? At the end of the day, this Mishnah is telling us we don't view this when it comes to Nedarim. We don't view lemaisa who has a milah who doesn't have a misa. The first person who's considered mol is someone who is bichlal the chiv of a bris milah. So Yisrael is always considered a mahul, even if he doesn't have a bris milah, and he's never considered an Ariel, even if he doesn't have a bris milah. He's always considered a mulin. And on the other side, the guy is always considered Ariel, even if he does have a bris milah, he's considered an Ariel. So here too also, Arve mahul and Givoni mahul, even though they have bris milahs, they're considered Arelim. So why, if they're considered Arelim, why would there be a need to say, oh, they can't eat the bris milah, the Karban Pesach? Of course they can't eat the Karban Pesach. They're considered Arelim. So back to square one, what does Rabbi Kiva do with the words Tosha V'Sachar? So the Gemara says, Ela La'asuye comes to include Ger Shemal V'Lotavo, V'Katan Shinola Kishumal. It comes to include a person who is Jewish, but does not have a complete Gerus. Either first, a person, a Ger, who received the bris milah, but did not yet get the mikvah, didn't go to the mikvah yet, Or also, it comes to include a person, a katan, who's born mahul, but still is not, his bris milah is not complete. The kesavar tzarach l'hatid mimenu dam bris. Even though a child is born with a bris milah, he requires a hatafas dam bris. Tells us his bris milah is not complete. So these are people who do have a bris milah, but they're not complete. And that's what Rabbi Kiva is trying to say. Toshav v'sachar, such an individual cannot partake in the Karban Pesach. And the Gemara writes further, Rabbi Eliezer, fine, so that's all according to Rabbi Kiva. Okay, now, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer, letameh, Rabbi Eliezer goes according to his general reasoning, the Amar, he holds, Ger Shemal, v'lo Taval, the Ger who gets a Bismillah, but does not yet go to the mikvah. Ger Ma'aliyah, he argues in Rabbi Kiva and says he's a full-fledged Ger with Bris Milah alone. Why is Rabbi Lazar going according to this reasoning? Because the fact that the Kasavar, read one more line, the Kasavar Katan Kishanolan Mahul, and he also holds that when a Katan is born in Mahul already, Ein Tzarech L'hativ Mimenu Damris, there's no need to draw any blood. This child is born without any fixing needed. So Rabbi Lazar, the fact that he says these two cases are considered a Ger Ma'aliyah and a Jew Ma'aliyah, that's why he can't use the word Tashav Asochar to exclude those cases. Those people can eat the Karban Pesach. That's why he needs Tashav Asochar to be used to teach us that an Ariel cannot eat Truma. Okay, now the question becomes, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva both agree that an Ariel may not eat the Karban Pesach. The question is, what's the source? Rabbi Kiva used the source Ish Ish to say an Ariel can't eat, and he had to make a drasha from Tosav HaSachar. And Rabbi Lazar used the words Tosav HaSachar to say that an Ariel can eat. But now the question becomes, what does he do with the words Ish Ish? So Rabbi Eliezer, Hai Ish Ish, my Avrilei. What does he do with the words Ish Ish? Gemara says, Dibra Torah Klashim Bin Adam. Hard for us to understand, but that back then their syntax was very different than ours, and their way of speaking was very different. And they would speak Ishish, they would speak in double language oftentimes. So Ishish was just a regular way of speaking. There's no drasha to be made. And this is a concept that's invoked many, many places in Shas as well. Okay. Now the Gemara asks a very interesting question. Boy Rav Chama Bar Ukva, Katan Arel Mahu Lasucho B'Shemen Shel Shuma. The question is, Rashi says, a Katan Arel Toch Shimona. Child is born. Before he reaches the eighth day, of course, he can't receive a bris milah. And during that time, he's called an Arel. He's an Arel because he doesn't have the bris milah. The Arel is still there. So is he, let's say he's a Kohen, he's a son of a Kohen. Are the parents allowed to rub oil of Truma onto the child? Truma's Aser to a Zar. Truma's Aser to an Arel. He's an Arel at this point. So, and rubbing oil is a way of benefiting Truma. It's a permitted way to benefit. But since he's an Arel, maybe he should not be allowed to be rubbed with oil in his body of Truma. So Gemara explains, what's the suffix? Arlus Shlobizmana Makva. Are we going to say Arlus Shlobizmana? He doesn't have a choice. We don't have a choice. We can't get rid of the Arla now. But do we still say, since it's an Arla that Shlobizmana, that hasn't yet reached the time of removing it yet, is that still going to prevent him from getting Hana from Truma? Although Makva, or maybe it won't be Makiv, only an Ariel who's supposed to have it removed, if he doesn't remove it, only he'll be prevented from having, from deriving benefit from Truma. But if the time hasn't reached yet to remove the Arla, maybe he'd be mutter. There's no Isser. He's not violating the Isser. He's actually not allowed to remove the Arla yet. Since he's not violating the Isser, maybe he'd be allowed to have some of the oil of Truma rubbed on him. That's the Shaila. Interesting question the Gemara asks. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Zeira Toshma. Let's bring you a Rai from the following case. Ainli Ela Milas Zicharav Bishas Asiya Vavadav Bishas Achila. So we already know from the Pesukim that when a person's bringing a Karban Pesach, if he has a child who does not have a bris milah yet, or if he has an eved that does not have a bris milah, he himself, even though he has a bris milah, the master and the father himself cannot go ahead and bring the Karban Pesach. So if you look at the Pesukim only tell us that if, when he does the Shas Asiyah, when he brings the Karban Pesach, not the eating, but when he brings it, his son's bris milah will prevent him, only during Shas Asiyah. But let's say a case was, well, Gemara will get to the case. And the avadim who don't have bris milah only prevent him from shas achila, from eating. But if, let's say, they had a bris milah during shas asiyah, sorry, if they didn't have a bris milah during shas asiyah, then it would not prevent him. So a son is only mentioned by asiyah, and an eved is only mentioned by achila. Gemara wants to know, minayin litein es ha'amur shelzeh bazeh ves ha'amur shelzeh bazeh. How do I know to take that which is said by one case, by the ben, and apply it to the eved, and that which is said by the Eved to apply to the Ben? In other words, how do we know that all four permutations, that both father, by both son and Eved, whether it be Shas Asiyah or Shas Achila, if they don't have a Bris Milah, all four cases will prevent them? How do we know we apply it by all cases? Tam Lomer Oz L'Gzer Shava. It says the word Oz by the Eved, B'Shas Achila. It says the word Oz by a Ben, B'Shas Asiyah. The Gzer Shava applies all cases. That if a son doesn't have a Bris Milah, whether it be Shas Asiyah or Shas Achila, and if the Eved doesn't have a Bris Milah, whether it be Shas Asiyah or Shas Achila, that would hold back the Av and Master from eating. Gemara wants to know, okay, fine. How do you create all these cases? Bishma Avadav, I understand you can find the case where an Eved is Bishachla D'Isnayo Bishas Achila V'Lisneo Bishas Asiyah. I could think of a case where the Eved, you had an Eved during Shas Achila, but you didn't have it in the earlier stage during Shas Asiyah when you brought the Karban Pesach, could go in the Zavninu Beinu Beinu. You bought the Eved in the interim, meaning the person had no Eved when he brought the Karban Pesach. After Shechting the Karban Pesach, before nightfall, he bought an Eved. And now what happens is, that night he has an Eved who he did not receive a Bris Milah yet, so that time at nighttime, even though Shas Achila, he didn't have any Avadim who didn't have a Bris Milah, but now during Shas Achila, he has an Eved who has no Bris Milah, he's not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. So that, I can think of a case where Shas Achila, there was no Eved, but now Shas Asiyah, there is. Other way around, rather. Shas Asiyah, there was no Eved, but Shas Achila, there is an Eved. But, Ela Zacharav, Disnayu B'Shas Achila, Disnayu B'Shas Asiyah. How do you create a case where he had a son during Shas Achila later on, but did not have a son during Shas Asiyah? Heich Mishkachasla. It can't be, let's see, Lav Dis Yalud Ben Asiyah L'Achila. It must be where his son was born after the Karban Pesach was shechted, and before it came time for eating, right in that afternoon time, Erev Pesach. So why is that going to prevent him? He's not chayv in bris milah yet. He was just born that day. You need to wait another 7 days. Shema mina, we learn from him that arlus shel bizmana havi arlus. He's not chayv in bris milah, despite the fact that he's not chayv in bris milah. Since he's an arel right now, even though it's shel bizmana, he's called an arel, and it prevents the father from eating. So too, when it comes, it prevents the Karban Pesach from being eaten by the father, because Arlus, so too, such a child who's an Arel may not receive any of the Shemen Shel Truma while being an Arla. Even though it's an Arel Shel Bismana, it's still considered an Arel. That's the Rai, the Gemara says. So Gemara now says, Amar Rava V'tizvara. Does this really make sense? Himo lo chol zachar, Amar Rachmana, vaz yikariv lasosa. The Pasuk says, give a bris milah to all one's children, and then you could bring the Karban Pesach and eat it. But it's not fair. This child is not allowed to get a bris milah. It's too early for him to get a bris milah. So how could you consider this person, such a child, how could he prevent the father from eating? It's only when there's a chiv to give a bris milah and he doesn't get the bris milah does it prevent him from eating the Karban Pesach. But there is no chiv on the son to receive a bris milah, so it shouldn't prevent him. So the Rabbah says, in fact, in this case, where a child would be born between Asiyah and Achila, he would be allowed to still eat the Karban Pesach. This type of arelus would not hold him back. So if that's the case, that an arel shelo bezmana is not considered arel, so how do you create a case of a child between asiyah and achila? That shas asiyah, there's no bris milah needed. He was allowed to bring the Karban Pesach, but suddenly during shas achila, he's considered arel. How does that switch over in those couple of hours? So Gemara explains. I'll tell you the following case. Elahacha b'maya skin. What are we dealing with here? What type of child? Kigon shechaltsasa chama. He had this type of fever that he was sick, and suddenly the during this time the fever went away, and now he was healthy. He was able to receive a bris milah. So during Shas Asiyah, when he was sick, he wasn't roy for the bris milah. There's no chiyuv to give a bris milah. It was actually usher to give him bris milah because of sakana. So Shas Asiyah, nothing was holding him back. But then in the afternoon, Erev Pesach, he becomes healthy and he's able to receive the bris milah. So now he's considered an arel. Such a child will prevent the father from eating the Karban Pesach that evening. Well, I said, wait a second. It's not true. Person who has this type of fever, he's not allowed to just receive a bris milah that day. V'nisiv leh kol shiva. You have to wait 7 days, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us. The fever goes down, the sickness goes away, you have to wait a full 7 days just to ensure they become fully free. Look at Rashi, v'nisiv leh kol shiva. This is around 10 lines from the bottom. V'beini beini ispach. If he became healthy during these few hours after the shechting until the eating, why does this prevent the father from eating? The time for receiving the bris milah hasn't yet arrived. Later on, we have a brisa. Yom havrasa kiyom shahuladu. The day that he becomes healthy is like the day he was born, meaning that shiva yomi lo mahalinle. Just like when a child is born, you have to wait 7 more days. So too, when a child becomes healthy, you have to wait 7 days from becoming healthy. So if he became healthy during those few hours, he's not going to have a chiyuv bris milah. You have to wait 7 days. Gemara says, no, we're talking about a case, d'yahiv nilei kol shiva. No, it's actually 7 days earlier is when he became healthy. The seventh day ends up being on Erev Pesach. So that's the issue. It's Erev Pesach is the day that he becomes healthy. So Gemara says, wait a second. So v'nimhalu b'tzafra. So why not, if the seventh day is Erev Pesach, so why not give him a bris milah in the morning before Shas Asiyah? So the Gemara says, because me'es le'es, side ba'inan, me'es le'es. You need me'es le'es. Meaning, you have to calculate exactly 7 days. 7 days, 24 hours, exactly. Whatever the calculation is, was that 188 hours, I think? Right?
You don't do le'es le'es when he was born.
Ah, the Gemara's about to ask that question, exactly. So before we get to that question, the Gemara says you have to do me'es le'es. So you have to wait, was that right, 188, was that right?
Whatever it is.
Okay. It's 188 hours, I think. So if he became healthy at 1 p.m. on Sunday, oh, that's not a good day, at 1 p.m. on Monday, let's say, so then Sunday, 1 p.m. Erev Pesach, is when he's ready for the Bris Milah, and that's, let's say, after he brought the Karban Pesach already. So he brought the Karban Pesach where there's no Chiv yet to give the Bris Milah. And later on, now the 7 days are complete, now there's a Chiv to give the Bris Milah, so it turns out Shas Achila is a Chiv to give Bris Milah. I said, wait a second, Meis Leis is a necessary thing for the 7 days. The Hatani, the Brisa tells us, Leida, probably should be Leida, is there a different girsa there? No, Luda is a name actually, a person's name. So Hatani Luda said, Yom Havrasa ki Yom Haivaldo. The day he becomes healthy is like the day he became born, meaning, my love, is not the following that, my Yom Havaldo. The day he became born, lo binin meisleis, like you just said, there's no need to wait eisleis. It's just the morning of the 8th day. Af yom hevrasa lo binin meisleis. So too, the day he became healthy shouldn't require a full 24-hour period. So it should be the morning of Erev Pesach. It's the 7th day. That's when he should receive the bris milah, and even before Shas Asiyah. So Gemara says lo, adif yom hevrasa yom hevaldo. The day of becoming healthier is greater or more stringent than the day of becoming born. Why? The ilu yom havaldo lo beinu meisleis. The day from the time you got born, you don't require this 24-hour exact waiting period. Vilu yom havrasa, but however, when it comes to the day of becoming healthy, b'inam eslais, you need to. Now the Gemara doesn't explain why this is, but that's a difference. So, in the end day, you have to wait the meslais, and what turns out is, if you became healthy, somehow, time in the afternoon, so that would be between the shasa siya and shasa chila, that's the case that we're talking about in the Gemara.
So we don't hold like this anymore?
In terms of the waiting period?
If the child doesn't get circumcised because he's sick, we don't wait 7 full days.
It depends on what it is, actually.
Yeah.
Sometimes, I don't know which type of things, which not, but some we have to, I think it might be, I think it's machlokas, of course. I think if he is jaundice, I think we'll give it right away. But other types of issues might be waiting 7 days, I think. I believe so. Okay, then the Gemara says, Rapapa Amar Kigon, so he gives another example how you could have a child who is not chayv during asiyah, but is chayv during achila. He says, Kigon de ka'iv lei eina lianuka vispach beni beni. So this is a type of, no, not a sickness, but a pain that his, what, his eyes were not 100% and became healed. They saw somehow he was able to receive the Bris Milah now. So that happened, mamash healing happened between asi and achila. And this is a type of pain or chola that does not have to wait the 7 days. Only when it comes to rashes, only when it comes to the fever, do you have to wait 7 days. When it comes to a pain in the eye, you don't have to wait 7 days, but you can't give the Bris Milah while the pain exists, only after the pain leaves. And that may have happened during this time period. Rava Amar, Rava gives another example, Kigon Shahayu Aviv Vimo Chavushim Beis Hasum. They suggest maybe it's a case where the mother and father are in jail and they cannot perform the Bris Milah, and they were released sometime after the Asiyah and before the Achila. Ah, how could they do the Asiyah then? So Rashi explains, Chavushim Beshas Asiyah Umitzis Milah Mutal Salam. They're responsible for bringing the Bris Milah, for performing the Bris Milah. V'lo alachem, not for others. V'heim einam yecholim lasos ha-pitzchan v'shachat shluchan alem. They appointed a shliach to shech the Karim Pesach. V'ashmin and krush im yatsu b'shas achila milas b'no me'akfaso. It's a very fascinating thing here. So first of all, you have to understand why can they appoint a shliach for a Bris Milah? We always appoint shlichim. None of us know how to do Bris Milah. We always appoint a shliach to do Bris Milah. Why can they do that just as good as they could have brought the, that shech did the Karim Pesach, they appointed a shliach. That's number one. Number two is why couldn't Basin perform the Bris Milah? The Gemaras tell us in the Kedushin that if a father can't do it, then the Basin's supposed to step in. So why would you delay the giving the Bris Milah if today was the day to give the Bris Milah? And thirdly, this Gemara seems to imply that a woman, a mother, is also chayiv in the Bris Milah as well. And the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that a woman's not chayiv in doing the Bris Milah. So based on a lot of these questions, a number of things are said. So some suggest, the Or Sameach asks, why can you say another situation? Why don't you say where the mother and father, where the child was in jail, but the mother and father were not in jail? That could also have been a situation where they're holding the child's captivity. So at the end of the day, the Or Sameach, among other Achronim, say, no, the child was there with the parents in the jail. They were there together. Because that's why it says mother. A mother's not chayiv. But if the mother's there, so of course the newborn's with the mother, otherwise the infant couldn't survive without the mother. So you're right, the mother's not chayiv in mitzvah meal at all. The mother's never chayiv. The emo, by saying emo, it means to include the child, the infant's also there with the mother. They're both there. That's what it's talking about. That's why Basin couldn't perform it, because the child was in jail with him. And the fact that it says mother has nothing to do with the chiv and the mother. Others say no. The mother, you're right, does not have a real chiv in the Bris Milah, but the mother has an obligation, says the Or Zeruah, to be involved, to mishtadel, to do what it can, whatever she can in her in her hands to make sure, to ensure that the Bris Milah gets carried out. Not because she's a chiv, but she's somehow a second level chiv of hishtadlus in the mitzvah. Anyways, this is a very important Gemara for that discussion of a woman's chiv in a Bris Milah. Okay, let's go weiter. The Gemara now says, Rav Kana Breda of Nechemya Amar, Kigon Tumtum Shinikov Nimsa Zachar Beinu Beni. He's talking about a child who's a Tumtum. They weren't really sure the gender of the child. Then they ripped open that area, and it turned out there was a child who was a Zachar. So Dafka, during this time, is when they discovered that the child was a son, it was a male, and required Bris Milah, Dafka between Achila, Asiya, and Achila. Rav Shravya Amar, he gives another example, Kigon, Shehotzi Rosho Chutz Pruzder. Interesting case here. The child sticks its head out during labor. during labor during this time. So look at Rashi says kagon shehotzi vlad rosha chutz puzder v'kfar avru shiva yamim, and 7 days have passed. Umeahi shaita havilei vlad, the moment the child sticks its head out, it's considered born. Kidekai malon, Rashi explains, v'masechas nida yata rosha harehi ukiyalud, it's already considered born. Even though it sticks its head back in, the moment it sticks its head out for the first time, it's considered born. V'hashde bein asiyah l'achila yata guf d'havilei zman mila, and suddenly the entire body gets born between the asiyah and achila. But the shasei ayila yalud was already 7 days ago when it took the head out. So that's the situation we're talking about here. So it wasn't fully born. It was in the mother's stomach during Shas Asiyah. It only came out of the stomach during after Shas Asiyah, before Achila. Don't you have to wait 7 days? No, because it already stuck its head out 7 days earlier. It was already considered born halachically then. So wait a second. Michaya. Will such a child be able to live? It sticks its head out and sticks its head back in for 7 days. Is it not going to suffocate? Hatan, the Brisa tells us, Kevin Shiyot Zalavi Ha'olam, the moment that the child sticks its head out, Niftach Hasasim Nisam HaPsuach, that which is open gets closed, that which is closed gets open. So that which was closed, for example, the mouth, the nostrils were closed inside the womb, now is suddenly open. And now when it goes back inside the mother with all these open channels of air, it can't breathe inside there. How is it going to live for 7 days like that? Shemale Kein Ein Yachol Lechayos Afilu Sha'achas. Had that not been the case, the child wouldn't be able to live. It wouldn't be able to live in the mother's stomach. If everything was open, if the mouth and the nose were all open, it wouldn't be able to survive in the mother's stomach because all the liquid would be going in. It couldn't survive that way. And the opposite shows, when the child's born, if everything that which was closed stays closed, the mouth and the nose don't open up, it won't be able to breathe properly. So that being the case, how could a child whose head stuck out and went back in live for 7 days after everything has become open? Gemara says, "Hach b'may skin." What are we dealing with here? Kigon dezante ishta. I'm not sure what this means. Shizante interasha hacholi zanim es hachola. The sickness sustains and feeds the chola.
When you're sick and you don't have an appetite, so you don't eat and drink, but you don't die because you're having your whatever body fat you have and other things.
So it's not an issue of, I thought an issue of breathing.
That's what I thought.
Uh-huh.
He still has, he's so fine. So his navel, the umbilical cord doesn't work anymore, so he's not getting nourishment. But still the question of how is his open mouth, how is he breathing?
Uh-huh. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, let's see. Maybe it says further. So they're suggesting, so in terms of the nourishment that he's getting from his own body somehow. So, ishasa diman. So, whose sickness, though? At this point, the Gemara is not sure if it's a sickness of his own chola, or maybe the chola of the mother. The mother's also, she's considered a chola. Ilema ishasa di David, his own sickness, whatever that means. Im ihachi kol shiva bayi. So, so if he's considered a chola, so after he gets born, after he's born, he has to wait 7 days from the sickness of this this type of fever, I guess he's receiving. I don't know the metzias of this, unfortunately. The zante ishasa de'ema, somehow the mother, the fever, the heat, the sickness of the mother is somehow sustaining and nourishing the child. Now, how you get around the issues of breathing, I'm not sure, but that's what the Gemara creates. This is a very interesting case. I'm sure David would love this if David were to be here, but this is somehow the interesting case that's created where during the Bein, Asiyah, and Achila is when the child's ro'ef the bris milah. Now the Gemara says, Ibai Zema, alternatively, Hani mili hecha de lo ma'avi, v'haich de ma'avi ma'chai chaye. So when is this true, Rashi says, ma'avi means tzoik, scream. So when is this true that the child is not able to live in such a situation when it goes back into the womb? That's only when the child did not scream or cry. But if the child screamed and cried, then he's going to be able to heat himself and nourish himself. So again, I'm not matching up to what we know nowadays, what they had then. Seems to be the issue with the Gemara is the amount of heat and the heat that's being received, staying warm. There's no clothing. So I thought the issue was breathing, another issue of, you know, having nourishment. So I don't know what to make of this, though. Okay, right in the Gemara. Halfway down, Ayin Al from the Beis, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Buna, Ariel, Mikabel Hazah, and Ariel is able to receive Hazah. If a Ariel is Tamei Mace, he's supposed to receive hazah from the paraduma on day 3 and day 7. He gets sprinkled and he becomes tahor. So the Gemara says that even an Ariel, even though he doesn't have a bris milah, he's allowed to receive hazah. How do we know this? Shekein matzinu bavoseinu shekiblu hazah kishen arelim. Because we have that our forefathers also were received hazah while they were an Ariel. Shinemar, it says by Yeshua ben Nun, va'am alu min ha'yardin. The Am passed through the Yarden. The Yarden split also, by the way, like the Yamsuf. It split. They passed through the Yarden. They came up on the other side into Eretz Yisrael. Best of the Chodesh was the 10th of Nisan. Harishon, the Chodesh Rishon is Nisan. And the Gemara goes on to, the Pasuk reads, I'll read the whole Pasuk on the side here. V'yachnu b'Gilgal b'Ktzei Mizrach Yericho. And they settled in a place called Gilgal. So what happens is, they had to bring the Karim Pesach in 5 days from now. It was really 4 days. And Yudal Nisan, they had to shech the Karim Pesach. So, Basarulam Mahalu, they couldn't give themselves a bris milah on day 10 when they arrived in Eretz Yisrael. Mishum Chul Shadu Urcha, because the weakness, they're so weak from traveling for so many years, and just recently that day, they're too weak to receive it. So they couldn't receive it on day 10. So they had to wait till day 11. Now, they also were Tameh. How were they able to bring the Karim Pesach by day 14? So Hazah Emas Avilu, when did they receive the sprinklings of the Dam of the Paraduma, the May Paraduma? Lav Kishin Arelim, was it not on day 10 when they're still considered an Arel? Because you have to have day 4 and day 7, you have to have 3 days in between. So if they received it on day 11, so let's say day 11 would be 4, that'd be day 12 would be 5, day 13 would be day 6. But that's Rashi, I think, says it clearer than I'm gonna say it. Rashi says, Hazah Emas Avid. Rashi writes, Hazah Emas Avid, this is around 10 narrow lines up. Litumas Meis Shalen. When are they going to receive the Tumas Meis? Shirov Tzibor Tamei Meis Hayu. Shinitbum Bavosayim. Most of them are considered Tamei Meis. People died throughout the Midbar. Shikol Yotzi Mitzrayim Meis Bimidbar. Veiluhin Benem. These are the children of the ones who died. Ves Benem Hakim Tachta Mausum Mal Yeshua. Those who, the children of the ones who died, the ones who entered Eretz Yisrael, those are the ones who got the Bris Mila from Yeshua. The Heach Nitaru asks Rashi, how did it become Tawar? Lechel Pitzchem, you have to eat the Karban Pesach when you're Tawar. Im lo kiblu hazah shlishi v'shvi, k'shein arelim. They had to have received the hazah on days 3 and day 7. O ko echad v'echad kiblu hazah shlishi v'shvi shalob b'o day b'midbar. Either received it while in the midbar. O achshav, or right now when they entered Eretz Yisrael, hazu, alem, they sprinkled them, kulan yachad besel l'chodesh in the 10th. Uber Pesach hayu lehen dal yomim k'mishpat bein hazah l'hazah. Dim halohayu mazan ad yom echad asar, if they only waited till day 11, let's say they received the bris milah on day 11, and that's when they got the hazah, la'achar milah, after they received the bris milah in the morning of the 11th, then they received the hazah afterwards, nimtas hazah shnia mukhaser zman. By doing the math, you're not going to have day 7 won't be on the 14th of Nisan. The 7th ends up being on Tesfav of Nisan. So how are they able to become fully tahor to the Karim Pesach? It must be that they received the hazah on day 10, when they're considered Arelim still. Back to Gemara now. So again, must be, Hazah Emas Avilu, Lav Kishen Arelim, was it not when they were considered Arelim on day 10 still? V'dumalavad Pesach La, what do you mean? Maybe they didn't bring the Karim Pesach that year. It's Ashayla, they didn't bring it, they couldn't become Tahor, you're right, and they waited a full year to bring the Karim Pesach. Lo Sagadaitach, you wouldn't have such a habit, I mean, don't you know the Pesukim? Right, May Pesach Sheni. Well, the Pesach says, well, because the Gemara says, the Mefurish Pasach, this is Vayasu as a Pesach. They brought the Karim Pesach. It doesn't say Pesach Sheni. They brought the Karim Pesach. So they clearly brought the Karim Pesach. How did they become tar to bring the Karim Pesach? It must be they received the first Hazah on day 10, even though they are Arelim. Maskela Marzucha. Marzucha challenges this. Viduma Pesach Haba Batumahaya. What do you mean? We have a concept that when the Rov Tzibur is Batuma, they're allowed to be bringing the Karim Pesach. So maybe that was the case that year. Amalei Rav Ashi Tani Behedya Malu V'Tavlu V'Asu Pischem B'Tara. It can't be. I have a first brash that says that year they entered into Eretz Yisrael. They received bris milas. They went to the mikvah and they brought the Pesach while being tahor. And the only way to have a case of them being tahor is if they received the first hazah on day 10, even though they were arelim. Okay. Gemara now says, after establishing that they were Arelim when they entered Eretz Yisrael and they received the Bris Milah on day 10, they received the Hazah on day 10, and the Bris Milah was given the next day on day 11. Gemara now says something interesting. Amar Rava Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rava Lo Nisna Priya Mia Priyas Milah La Ramavino. the mitzvah priya of the milah was not given to Avraham Avinu. When it comes to bris milah, there are really three stages that take place. There's the nice milah, the removing of the arla. There's a second stage called priya, which is pulling back the skin that's left over, pulling it back. And the third halacha is the metzitza, the drawing out of the blood. So the mitzvah priya was not given to Avraham Avinu. How do we know this? Shenemar be'isahi amar Hashem. At that moment, when they entered Eretz Yisrael, Hashem said El Yoshua, Asei lecha charvos tzurim, go make yourself some of these sharp stones or knives. They actually found in some of the archaeology their works. They found near Yericho a lot of these what they think were the charvos tzurim, these sharp knives and stones that were etched out for the bris milah. So the pasuk continues to say, the Gemara doesn't quote it, that I was actually once told, whenever it says v'gomer in the Gemara for the pasuk, usually that's where the ikkar part of the pasuk is, the v'gomer part. So we have to know the v'gomer. So the v'gomer is, Asei lecha charvos tzurim, v'shuv mol es bnei Yisrael shenis. And they gave a second bris milah, shenis, shuv, again, shuv means again, and shenis means again. They gave a second bris milah. What means a second bris milah? Weren't they receiving a bris milah for the first time here? So the Gemara says, Rashi didn't really explain what's going on here, but the idea being that even though the certain individuals received the bris milah, they received a second round of a bris milah, namely the priya was given to them now. It wasn't a chayv, it wasn't commanded to them before this. It was only now that they were commanded in the priya. B'dilma, hanech de lo mahol. Maybe it was those who didn't receive a bris milah yet. That's who they were giving a bris milah to. The ones who already have the bris milah, they're already done. There's no need to give them a second one. It's only those who didn't have the bris milah. Dichsiv, ki molim hayu, kol am hayotzim. All those who left Yotzim, left Mitzrayim, those who already had a bris milah. V'chol ha'homi ha'yilodim, those who were born in the Midbar, though, lo malo, the pasuk goes on to say. So those who didn't receive the bris milah, those are the ones who are receiving the bris milah. Not those who already had a bris milah. There's no source here that priya was suddenly commanded to Yoshua ben Nun. Where it says, imkain, if that's the case, we're only referring to those who never had a bris milah. My shuv, what is shuv? Shuv means a second time. El alav the priya must be those who already had a bris milah have to undergo a second level bris milah, namely that of the priya. And that's the source that Yeshua ben Nun was commanded priya and not Avraham Avinu. So interesting, Tosos writes, don't we know that Avraham Avinu was given all the mitzvahs? See that Tosos, Dibur Maschel lo nisna priya milah Avraham Avinu? He wasn't given priya. When we call Malcolm Avraham para milasan, even though he wasn't given the mitzvah, he still did give himself a milah anyways with priya, even though he wasn't commanded. Avagav lo nisna, even though he wasn't commanded. How do we know that? Even Erev Tafshilin he kept. So he did. Even though he wasn't commanding the Priya, he did give himself a Priya anyways. Back to the Gemara now. Gemara asks, okay, so the word Shuv tells us that there was a repetition. There was a second level of Bris Mila given, namely that of Priya. But there's another extra word in the Pasuk. It says Shenis, my Shenis. It says Shuv Shenis. Shuv means the second time. What's Shenis saying? A third time? So Shainis says the Gemara is la kushe sof mila l'tchilas mila, to make a hekesh to the end of a mila to the beginning of a mila, meaning ma tchilas mila ma keves af sof mila ma kfin. Just like the beginning of the bris mila itself will be active a person from eating the Karban Pesach, so to even the end of the bris mila, namely the priya, will also prevent a person from eating the bris mila, the Karban Pesach. So a person has the mila alone, without the priya, he will not be able to eat the Karban Pesach. It's not like the Mishnah tells us. The following prevent titzamakvin as a mila, the little strings, if you will, of skin that prevent or make the bris mila not considered a full bris mila. How much of the skin has to still be there to prevent from being a bris mila, a full bris mila? Basa chupas rov hatara. If it's skin that covers most of the atara, vein ochel b'tshuma. If there's that much skin left over, that's going to prevent the individual from eating the Karban Pesach. So here too also, the priya is going to prevent the person from eating the Karban Pesach. And Amar Ravina, v'isema Rav Yirmiyah, bar Abba, Amar Rav, basa chupa es rov gova shahatara. Has to be basa that covers most of the height of the atara. Okay, we'll finish here now with a few more lines. Uve midbar, my time alomal. So now we have to ask the question, why is it true that the people who were born in the midbar not receive a bris milah? We just learned in the Pesukim that Yeshua ben Nun entered Eretz Yisrael, and there was a large group of people who never received a bris milah. They went 40 years without a bris milah. So Gemara says, Ibai Seima, Mishim Chul Shadorcha. They were so weak from the travelings, they couldn't handle undergoing this type of surgery. Ibai Seima, another answer given, Mishim Delo Nashiv Le Ruach Tzfonis. Ruach Tzvonis was a very special Ruach Tzvonis is nocha, a very calming and healing type of ruach, and they didn't have that to help the refuah of such a surgery. That didn't exist for some reason in the Midbar, so therefore they were not able to give a bris milah. And we'll read just a few lines. Maybe I'll try to get to the two dots. The Tanya, Kol Osen Arbam Shana Shayu Yisob B'Midbar, all 40 years while in the Midbar, Lo Nishba Lehem Ruach Tzvonis, it did not blow. The special northern wind did not blow. My time, what was the reasoning why it didn't blow? Why couldn't they have access to such a special wind? Ibais Ema Mishim Nizufim Hayu, because they're Nizufim, because of Maisa Eger, Rashi explained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're not Roy for this special wind, this special light. Ibais Ema, alternatively, Delo Navdir Ananya Kavod, because they didn't want the Ananya Kavod to be blown away. It had to be stayed and to protect them, so for that reason it didn't blow. So Amarev Papa Hilkach, Yom De'eva, Yom De'shusa Lom Halin Be, a day of full of clouds, and a day of Shusa, which is where there's a strong southern wind, a person should not receive a bris milah v'lo mesuchanim bay. What does mesuchanim bay mean? You shouldn't get a makiz dam, maybe?
Yes.
Okay, fine. So you shouldn't makiz dam because you need that special wind to heal you. Now that everyone's used to doing this, even without the Ruach Tzvonis, we don't need that anymore. We're already comfortable with this. Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us. So nowadays, even on a cloudy day, we do Hakasas Dam, and we do a Bris Mila. Okay.